evening. Since I heard there would be a baptism, I might just say a few things about baptism. Nothing too deep, just some things that I've learned myself, and maybe it can be a help to others. And while we're leading up to the baptism, so I'm going to read three places. And just, we might learn a biblical principle too while we're at it. They say that if you want to find out what our practice is to be for today, apostles' doctrine and practice, find something that the Lord Jesus commanded, or the apostles commanded, then find, see if it's practiced in the book of the Acts, and see if it's taught as doctrine in the epistles, the letters. Well, of course, baptism passes the test. So we're going to see it commanded by the Lord Jesus, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And I might just say, as I start, I was over in Pugwash for a baptism, Derek Levy. And there was a man there from Halifax that gave a word on baptism. It was a good word, Don Howard. And he said, we sometimes say baptized by immersion. He said, well, that's really, you don't need to say that because the word baptized in the Bible means immersion. So he said, it'd be like saying, I'm getting immersed by immersion. When we say baptism, that actually means immersion. So it was a good point. So the baptism that's practiced in other churches where it's not actually immersion is not baptism. It's just something that men invented, and they practice it, but it's not honoring to God. It's not something that's found in God's word. So Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, so this is the Lord Jesus in resurrection. He says, all power is given unto me. So he's going, using the power or authority that he has, he's going to make a command. Verse 19, go ye therefore. So based on the authority of the Lord Jesus, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach means to make disciples or make followers. Then the very next thing, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And of course, our brother Daryl, when he baptizes, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, on the authority of the Lord Jesus, and it's on his authority that we baptize. Then it says, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, these are some of the last recorded words of the Lord Jesus, right? So he's very interested in whether we're carrying out this command of making disciples, of baptizing, and of teaching all things. So remember I said it's commanded by the Lord Jesus, then practiced in the Acts. Well, I'm going to read in one place, but you could read in many other places in the Acts where it's practiced. We're going to read in Acts chapter 8. And some here are familiar, many here are familiar with the story of the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. He was the finance minister of Ethiopia, very high position. He got saved through believing in the Lord Jesus, and he was baptized the same day. So let's read Acts 8 and verse 35. Acts 8 and verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It was Isaiah 53. So we also have biblical authority and a practice to preach the gospel from Isaiah 53. It's a good place to preach from. Then verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That's a good question, isn't it? What doth hinder me to be baptized? Baptism should be for every single person that confesses the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe before I continue, I'll mention Larry Biot used to come and teach quite a bit. And I remember him saying for a baptism, you need four things. You need a baptizee. That's the person that gets baptized. You need the baptizer, the one that puts them under and hopefully doesn't leave them under too long, brings them back up. Number three, you need water. That's a necessary ingredient. And number four, you need witnesses because it's an object lesson. So it's meant to be witnessed by others. So he says, see, here is water. So he somehow he knew about baptism. And then verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made the confession. And that was good enough for Philip. Philip was an evangelist. He was very, he was very gifted and spirit-filled in this work of evangelism and in baptizing. So he was a wise man. He listened to his confession and he said, this man can be baptized. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I just want you to notice one more thing about this story. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. The rejoicing that followed the baptism. Then we're going to read about the doctrine, just a few verses in Romans chapter 6. This is mostly read at every baptism that I've been at. And we'll read a few verses, and I'm not going to say much about it. I just have a few things here to mention, and then I'm going to sit down and let someone else get up. Romans chapter 6, let's read in verse 1. And we will read until verse 5. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, really, we're not really dead to sin in the sense that we don't feel it anymore or long for it. The idea is, how shall we that have died to sin, we positionally have died to sin, even though we still have the flesh inside, how shall we that have died to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3, know ye not? And this is actually, sometimes when he says, know ye not, it's like, don't you know, and it's kind of a, not really a coming down on them. But here he's saying, are you ignorant of this fact? Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Notice that word buried. Buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A new character of life that follows baptism or should follow conversion. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, notice that, in the likeness. So baptism is like something else. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay, so we noticed the three places commanded by the Lord Jesus. It's practiced in the Acts. It's mentioned in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 16, Acts 18, Acts 19, and maybe more that I missed, but at least in all those chapters in the Acts, it's mentioned. And we also read about the doctrine. So baptism here is a burial, okay? So some people think that baptism does something special, you know, it gives you some special power. Some people even think it saves you. But if it's like a burial does nothing to a dead person. The person has already died. So the burial is just something that you do to get that old dead body out of sight. That's really what it's for, isn't it? And buried and give them an honorable burial. I shouldn't say old dead body. We want to treat the body with respect. God does. But you understand what I'm saying. So it's a burial. You know, at a burial, there's a lot of sadness. It's final. And it's separation from the ones that are the loved ones and the ones that you knew and from this world. Our Lord Jesus, when he was buried, when he was on the cross, that's the last sight that the world got of him. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't go and appear to the people that crucified him and say, look at me, I'm coming to take my revenge. No, that's for a future day. They saw him no more. The last thing they saw was the Lord Jesus on the cross. And when he was risen again, he was raised again to God. And he showed himself only to witnesses that were chosen beforehand, even to the apostles, Acts chapter 10. So the Lord Jesus didn't go show himself to the world. So really, when a person is baptized, if they're like the Lord Jesus, the world will say, that person now is dead to the world. They're dead to their old life. And it's what happened at it's what happened at conversion. But at baptism, it's a public display that this is actually what has happened. My grandfather, whenever he was on his deathbed, he said to me, I had asked to be baptized. This, I'm not sure when it was, but he passed away in July the 10th, 2011. And he said to me, he said, there's going to be two burials. I wonder which one is going to be first. Well, his was first before mine, but I was baptized in October. And I was happy to wait for those few months. But my grandfather, I have to get my words out. He knew that it was a burial, and that's the way he saw it. And he would have liked to seen it, but it didn't work out that way. But for me, it was a burial. Then I mentioned it's an object lesson. An object lesson of what happened to me whenever I was saved. The old God putting an end to the old Timmy. And God bringing to life the new Timmy. The one in Christ. The old Timmy that was an Adam. The new Timmy in Christ. The old Timmy that was a sinner, bound for hell. The new Timmy that's a saved saint on the way to heaven. And it's an object lesson of the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection all at once. Of course, for the Lord Jesus, it was Friday, or some people think it was Wednesday or Thursday anyway. I'm content that it was a Friday that he died. Friday, and then there was Saturday, then he rose again on the Sunday. So on Friday, when the Lord Jesus died, that was a time of sadness, right? They were crying, and their hopes were dashed. Then Saturday was a day of contemplation for them and rest. And then Sunday was a day of joy when they realized he's risen again. At baptism, it all happens at once. There's a serious side to baptism. Then there's a side of contemplation when you think about what's happening and others are watching and remembering. I did that a number of years ago, and I wonder if I've lived up to what I said at my baptism. Sometimes we wonder that, don't we? It's like marriage. It only takes 5 minutes to say your vows, but it takes the rest of your life to live them out. That's what baptism is like. It takes 30 seconds to be baptized. It takes the rest of your life to live out what you said at your baptism. But it's an object lesson of the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The joy. You know, on Resurrection Day, there was joy and newfound enthusiasm when the Lord Jesus was risen again. I can't describe the joy that I had after I was baptized. You couldn't get the smile off my face. I don't know where it went, but I had it that day. The joy. Another thing that's on the more serious side, the world is watching when a person is baptized, and they know when a person is baptized, you're no longer one of us. They know that. And if you said you're a Christian, they watch you. But if you told them or if they found out you were baptized, they're going to watch you twice as much. They know. They don't really believe or they don't know what baptism means, but they know it means that person is different. They're from another world. They're an alien. We are aliens, of course. We're a heavenly people. In some of the major denominations, you don't see it so much now in our country, but you did years ago, especially in Newfoundland, if you listen to stories about the work there. Some people that told their father they were getting baptized, their father said, well, you no longer have a bed in this house. You're no longer welcome here. And many of them were put out of their homes. Many churches in our day and in previous days, once you were baptized, that marked you out as a threat. And you were automatically excommunicated. You're no longer allowed to be part of this church. That's when, in many, especially Muslim countries, that's when the persecution really begins at baptism. It's a public display that I am taking sides with a rejected Lord. And the world sits up and takes notice. So it's a serious thing. But the last thing I'll mention, which is what we don't want to lose sight of, it's a step of obedience to our Lord that we love. So may the Lord bless his word.